Good morning, brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you and learn to gather before you in your name. Lord, we ask you to teach us and speak to us so that as we come before you to have fellowship together, we can really listen to you and see you. So that no matter what situation we are at, we can come to meet you and gain your life supply. We commit everyone to you, commit the time to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'm considering to sharing with brother and sister regarding marriage. Today, more on the purpose of marriage. On the other hand, I see and feel myself very inadequate to share on this. So please pray for me and pray for yourself as you listen to my sharing so God can make this time beneficial by the teaching of the Holy Spirit himself despite of our limitation. Marriage is not initiated by man, nor it is designed or developed by human wisdom or through so-called evolution or random evolution of human beings or physically or psychologically. Therefore, in order to look at marriage and understand it properly, we need to start from the very beginning, surpassing all the distortion or contamination by man for its sinfulness, selfishness, foolishness, arrogance, and the subsequent hurts and damage and suffering. Let us go back to the very beginning of God's own word. In the first book of the Bible, Genesis. We know that Genesis chapter 1 is an overview of God's creation. And chapter 2 is the narrative on creation of man in a more detailed manner. The end of chapter 1, for example, the last part, verse 26 to 31, is the overview of the creation of man on the sixth day. Let us firstly look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. In 26, verse 26, chapter 1 of Genesis, talk about God created man. And 27 talks further that God created male and female. But they haven't talked about how God created them. Then Genesis chapter 2 gives a more detailed narrative of God's creation of Adam and Eve, including instituting marriage, first time in human history. This is a very beautiful narrative on how God brought Adam and Eve into marriage. This passage is also important and very rich in meaning. We can clearly see that marriage is initiated and instituted by God. It is part of the six-day creation. Men and women are designed and created suitable for marriage. Marriage is not only instituted by God, it is also the climax of God's six-day creation. Because only after that, the Bible said it was very good. Climax of God's six-day creation is not creation of man. Because in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God said, "No good, even Adam, was created." Because of this no good, God made a woman for Adam and brought her to him to be his wife. Then the Bible said in chapter 2, verse 24, it said, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." This is the institution of marriage by God. Then in the Bible said, in chapter 1, verse 31, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." That's why we say that man's marriage is the climax of God's 6 days creation. In God's eyes, man's marriage is very good. Although today we come across a lot of marriages, it's not so good. And we lose confidence in marriage. And we find that men create different ways to replace marriage. But in God's eyes, man's marriage is very good. Now let us move on to consider the purpose of marriage. Why God wanted to decide and institute marriage? Let us look at verse 24 of chapter 2 again. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This verse can be regarded as the blueprint of marriage. This original design or blueprint of marriage is so important that it was mentioned 4 times in the Bible. The blueprint was first appeared here before man's falling in sin. Then it was restated after man's sin by Jesus in Matthew and Mark. This shows that Jesus did not forget or give up this blueprint on marriage for man, but rather he wants to restore it through his salvation. Lastly, this blueprint appears in Ephesians after the salvation was accomplished. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 to 32, Paul said this. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Here very clearly we see God's purpose for man's marriage is to signify the union of the church, the union of Christ and his church. Because of this profound mystery, God instituted marriage and made it to be the climax of his 6-day creation. Being the climax is not because of man or man's marriage. It is because of the profound mystery of the union of Christ and his church, which man's marriage signifies. The union of Christ and his church is indeed a profound mystery. Who can understand Christ's heart and his love for his church? How precious he values for the union with his church. Christ and the church, the one spirit, the one mind, the one heart, the co-working, the intimacy, the love. What cost he has paid, and what seal he has now for this union. That's why Paul said this union is a profound mystery. However, it is amazing that God decided and designed man's marriage to signify this profound mystery of the union of Christ and the church. Do you know God wants to use your marriage to signify his profound mystery? Have you thought about this? Having seen this big and honorable responsibility, how much care we should have in seeking for our another half, in our courtship, in preparing ourselves to be a good husband or wife, in our marriage, in treating our spouse, and in our marital relationship. As you interact and communicate with your spouse, do you express and signify Christ and his church relationship? The second purpose of marriage is to serve God. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18 says, Then the Lord God said, It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Here we see very clearly the purpose of marriage, which is to help man to fulfill his life purpose. What is the life purpose of man? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we see the life purpose of man given by God. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." That means the purpose of marriage is to help man to serve God, to rule over the whole earth for God. So, helping one another, serving God, is the purpose of marriage. How should young people prepare yourself for future marriage? You can pursue the Lord today, growing in wisdom and strength, to be servants and made servants of God. You can learn serving God today. In this way, when young people, young men and women, join together in marriage, they can help one another to serve God, to fulfill their life purpose for God. This serving and working for God is not the kind of forced labor of a slave to his master, but rather the co-working with God in love. As Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 5, he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." The purpose of marriage is to love God. Marriage is not just two people, the couple living very sweet and happy life in their own little world, but for helping one another to serve and love God. Actually, if married couples don't learn to love God and serve Him in their marriage, they can't enjoy the long-lasting, genuine fulfillment and intimacy in marriage. Fourthly, Genesis chapter 1, 26 said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." In the following verse, 27, it also said, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." Here we see very clearly that God wants man to have His image, to be like Him. Even after man fell into sin, God did not give up this purpose. God's salvation is not only to save us from condemnation, from hell, but to transform us into His likeness. So this is the purpose in life for man, including marriage. Therefore, even if you feel that your marriage today is in a big hardship, don't lose heart and don't feel hopeless. You can still, by God's grace, rely on God and fulfill the most important purpose of your marriage in your life, which is conforming to Christ. In the midst of marital hardship, God can still give you grace. Sufficient grace working in your life through this hardship to transform you into His likeness and beauty. On the other hand, even you may have a very apparently very good or harmonious marital relationship. If you are not conformed to Christ in His character, in His love, your apparent admirable marriage has missed out the important purpose of marriage and can be regarded as a failure. Successful marriage depends on whether both husband and wife have Christ-like character. Therefore, how young people should prepare for their marriage? You can commit your life to God today and diligently know Him. Let God form Christ-like character in you so that you can enjoy and by your marriage to glorify God in the future. In Genesis chapter 1, the few verses we read, and the following verse 28, it said, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." Here we see the fifth purpose of marriage. God blesses man to multiply through marriage, to fulfill man's purpose of serving God in subduing the earth. In other words, the purpose of marriage is not only for the husband and wife to serve and love the Lord and to be conformed with the Lord themselves, but also for raising up godly offspring to serve and love the Lord and to be conformed with Him as well. In fact, all the above five purposes are for the fulfillment of the union of Christ and His church, so that His church can grow in numbers and maturity to serve and love Him, can have Christ-like character to be His helpmeet. We have looked at the important purpose of marriage. However, it doesn't mean that everyone has to or has better to enter into marriage. For some people, God does not lead them into marriage. Some people have the gift of celibacy from God. They choose not to get married. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, on those who have made themselves as eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. This gift of celibacy is given to certain people according to God's sovereignty. It is not whoever wants it can have it. Just like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6 to 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6 to 9. Paul said, "Now as a concession, not a command, I say this. I wish that all were as I myself am. But each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single, as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion." God leads some Christians to stay in singlehood so that they can have the freedom and capacity to focus on the mission from God for His kingdom. God knows that they can live a more abundant life, enjoying God, being blessing to many people. Just like what Apostle Paul continuing saying in the same chapter, verse 32 to 34. In 32 to 34 he said, "I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman," original New Testament Greek here for betrothed woman, here should be referring to virgin. "So and the unmarried and virgin or virgin is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit." But a married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. Just like Paul himself, he has the gift of celibacy so that he can focus on the particular mission assigned by God for his church. So marriage is not the only thing in life, nor the most important one. The most important thing in life is to serve and enjoy God, to be like Him, to help others to serve and love God and be like Him. Although Paul was not married, he still fulfilled the purpose of marriage under God's sovereign leading. Though he didn't have biological children to raise up, he has spiritual children like Timothy and Titus. He helped Timothy and Titus to serve God and love God and be conformed to the Son of God. Paul is a blessing of many. I also think of a few Christians I know of. I knew two elderly sisters since I was in my early teens in Hong Kong. They were then around 60 years old, always wearing long Chinese dress called Changsam. When they were young, they decided not to marry in order to serve God and His church wholeheartedly. They were well educated, but they have no income because they didn't work except serving at church since they were young. They lived together in a unit provided by the church almost all their lives. One of them was in the same assembly with me. We call her Sister Jen. The other elderly sister serving another so-called sister church. Both of them are now with the Lord. Sister Jen always joined our youth meeting, although she was almost 50 years older than us. She joins because she loved the Lord and she cared for young people. She sat there quietly, listened to our sharing and prayed for us. She was humble, quiet, and caring. I remember when she saw young people during weekend, she always asked, "Have you read the Bible this week?" She loved young people, including me, Yvonne, since our early teens. Her life has been a blessing to many. We thank God and praise Him. Among many great servants of God, there are celibates like Paul and Daniel. There are also married people such as Abraham, Moses, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Peter. We see that celibacy is minority and majority are married. But it doesn't matter. What matters is that everyone learns to serve God and to love Him, enjoy Him, and to be conformed to His Son according to God's own leading. I knew of an elderly couple. Their marriage is full of love and blessing, fulfilling the purpose of marriage we have just shared. Both the husband and the wife have gone to the Lord more than 10 years ago, in their 90s. In the past, whenever my family were in Brisbane, we liked to go to their nursing home to seek fellowship. The husband was Raymond Goldsworthy. Probably some of you know him. The wife's name is Joyce. The story is to witness a principle. When two young people learn to serve God and love God, God is able to bring them together and give them blessed marriage, which is also a blessing to others. Raymond and Joyce came from two opposite sides of the globe. From man's view, it is impossible for them to meet together. But God brings them together through their love to God and serving Him. Raymond was born in England. Joyce was born in Australia. Raymond was raised up in a non-Christian family. When he was young, he heard the gospel and accepted the salvation and was saved. From then, he loved to read the Bible. He started to enjoy sincere fellowship with brothers and sisters in the church. At about 25 years old, he left England for India as a missionary being sent by Austin Spark and invited to co-work with Brother Bhak Singh of India. A few weeks ago, Brother Eric Ru mentioned about a old brother, even Brother Stephen Kong, in the conference, say that before that brother, Brother Stephen Kong said that he is a young man. This elderly brother is called Fred Flack. This Fred Flack and Raymond Goldsworthy, they are sent to India many, many years ago to preach gospel there. Joyce was raised up in a Christian family. When she was young, she left Australia for India as a school teacher to preach the gospel there. When Raymond was 87 years old, he testified this. We didn't know each other, participating in different missionary ministry. We were finding great joy in the work that God had given us. Being more than content to leave all personal matters in the Lord's good hands. As far as life partners were concerned, there was something that seldom, if ever, entered our thinking. At first, they only met in some combined meetings and activities among different missionary groups. Raymond said he gradually had some good impression on Joyce. Once he had an opportunity to go to a tourist spot called Tiger Hill. From there, he could see the shining summit of Mount Everest of the Himalaya Mountains, the highest mountain in the world. Looking at this captivating scene, he said, "What a mighty maker of it all, and he is my father." After a while, he browsed through the visitor's book. Suddenly, to his complete surprise, he read a comment written by Joyce. "Beauty everywhere, in earth and sky and sea. But beautiful beyond compare is Jesus Christ to me." Again and again, he read those words. Deep emotion welled up within him, saying, "What a beautiful Christ-centered mind that dear girl has." Since then, his heart was started to be deeply attracted to Joyce. If you want to know how the story was developing, I may lend you the book called A Missionary Love Story. This one. This book was written by himself, or spoken by himself, when he was nearly 90. If you read his testimony, you will find that this is a beautiful, pure, and romantic love story. In a big contrast, you will find that the Hollywood-style romantic relationship between man and woman is short-lived because of self-centeredness and lust, not to say of the damage and hurt it brings. Raymond and Joy's story is not just for a moment, but it continued in their marriage life, lasting to the days meeting their Lord. Though there were hardship and trials in life, their hearts are in oneness, enjoying one another in the Lord. In the 80s, they spent their last year in a nursing home in Brisbane. That nursing home became their new mission field, and the ministry went on, helping needy souls around them. Though they had Alzheimer's disease, the time in nursing home had done so much to take them deeper and deeper and to bring them closer and closer. This is his own words. Raymond testified their nearly 60 years of marriage life, saying, "For God's glory, however, and as plain and simple fact, I can declare that our joy has long stood at boiling point, and I believe it is the logical result of letting God have His way as far as our marriage and life partnership is concerned. It has all led to joy unspeakable." This is his own words. Though they have no children, they gave birth to numerous men and women through gospel preaching. Their marriage indeed is fulfilling its purpose, for signifying the union of Christ and His church, for serving and loving the Lord, for being conformed to the image of His Son, for gaining and raising more people for God, for the fulfillment of the union of Christ and His church. I would like to use Raymond's own words, an exhortation to young people on the matter of marriage, and his preparation from his own book, this book, to conclude. I read some of his words. "I believe that the basic Bible verse in this matter is Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, in bracket. That is a reference easy to remember for the digit themselves. 2:2:2 seem to want to say something to us on the subject of partnerships and togetherness. A happy accident." And then he write on. The verse reads, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man." If your Bible has marginal rendings to it, you will notice that the word "made" should more literally be rendered "built." This note is well justified, because the Hebrew word here used is not usually translated in that way. Far more regularly, it has to do with actual building or construction. Bearing that in mind, we could rightly say that God built Eve, and then brought her to Adam. That we believe is God's ordained way. First, He builds, character-wise, and then He brings, and He is behind it all. It is His working. And then Raymond continues to say, "I have always believed that God was building my own dear Joyce for me long before I met her in those lovely Nilgiri Hills of South India. Even in her childhood, playing among her sisters in that orchard by the sea, God was forming Christ in His dear child. And now, and how I thank God that in ways that I have now described to you. He brought her to me. My advice to you then, young people, is let God build and then let God bring. We may so easily make mistakes, but God never will. As the precious word of God itself says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. It's in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. We ourselves, as a partnership, have now proved the truth of that promise for well nigh near 60 years. 60 wonderful years. So may what the Bible said, our brother and sister, the witness, share, encourage us. Encourage us to have a proper view on marriage so that we learn more, no matter what situation we are at. Learn more for the purpose of marriage in our lives. We have some time. If you have any question or any comments or any feedback, you can share, if there are any. Yeah, the question is, because God said it's not good for man to be alone, and then Paul said, for some people, for someone like himself, he prefer if in singlehood he can serve God more freely. So how does it reconcile? Yeah. Yes, indeed, in God's design, or everyone, if you have any feedback you can give, but one feedback is, in God's design, indeed, it's not good for man to be alone. God's creation, he wanted every man get married and multiply to serve God. But because sin come, so that means that some people, or because of sin, something changed. It doesn't change the purpose of marriage, but it changed the way of doing things. So we can see in the past, there's God gave people the gift of celibacy. And God gives some people to free them so that they can focus to preach the gospel, to help people. So for us, not necessarily every man, every brother need to get married. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful, and we need to seek God's guidance on that. So I'm not sure whether I... Oh, yeah, every brother and sister. Yeah, that means after man's fall, God's way is to have some people they are not married. To live a life, to serve God and love God. Yeah. But the purpose of marriage hasn't changed. One point on that is, indeed the Bible mentioned it's not good for a man to be alone. That means for a man, the build of a man, so it's easier for a woman to be in singlehood than man usually. Yeah, because in ministry, if this is by experience, if you are in ministry, you need to interact with a lot of people. So marriage can be protection for men. Yeah. And for men also, they have physical needs. Yeah, to get married. Yeah. Before that, anyone can give add more on that. Yeah. If not, yeah. So. Yeah, so for some people, they may not be suitable to marry because of the effect of sin. Yeah, this is another example. Yeah. Sorry, may you? Sorry, I can't quite follow. Just one question first. Indeed, like Raymond Goldsworthy, he doesn't have children, but he multiplied. In a sense, he preached gospel to people, and people got saved, and he multiplied for the kingdom. Does it address your question? So. I'm not sure whether I addressed your question or not.
I think the big command in the Old Testament is to be fruitful and multiply, but the big command in the New Testament is to go into all nations.
Yeah. I think the Old Testament talk about the picture. But the real essence of Old Testament is should be explained by the New Testament. So when the Old Testament talk about multiply, it's true, it's multiply. But the real meaning or reason to multiply is to multiply so that more people can belong to God. Yeah. So that means when we talk about the purpose of marriage, yeah, in the New Testament, some people, they don't have children, but they still fulfill the purpose of, you know, the couple, they can join together to preach the gospel, to help people, yeah, like Raymond and Joyce, yeah. Yeah, yeah, indeed, indeed. And singleness, I know of a sister. Singleness may not be lifelong. Some people, they may singleness for a certain time period and they get married. I know it's there's a sister, his sister established my first school, the first school I was teaching. This school is a Christian school, Christian high school college. She is a nurse. When she was young, she went from Norway to China to preach gospel and then later go to Hong Kong. And in all her life, in her youthful days, she just preached the gospel and helping people, establish a hospital to preach the gospel through hospital. She's a nurse. And then until she was in, I think, 55 or 56 years old, she got married. Yeah, so it's not like singlehood all the time or married all the time. Not necessarily like that. Everyone is different. And even sometime, either pass away or even the spouse choose to leave for some reason, and the victim party stay single, prefer to stay single. So all sort of situation can happen. Because we live in a fallen world. But no matter how the situation, how bad it is, the Lord can still use the situation to help us to experience His grace and to grow and to conform in His image. I think this is the Lord's guidance. But indeed, if we are strong Christian, things will become much simpler and easier. if our faith is stronger, or if our faith is if we are trusting the Lord more, things will become simpler and easier. If we are very far away from the Lord, things can become very messy and difficult to handle. It is true. It is reality, actually. So that's why we need to pursue the Lord. No matter in peaceful time or in hardship. Otherwise, in hardship, if you are not prepared, it's very hard for you to handle the situation. And some people, they are not ready. They are very self-centered. You know, some people, if they are very self-centered, they think, I need someone to love me so that I marry. You can imagine the problem. They can solve their problem of loneliness today, but they will create themselves another problem to living with another person, but don't know how to love her or him. It is very hard. So it's important to prepare ourselves so that so that we are equipped to go into marriage. And actually, this is the purpose why I share this. This is one of the purposes. We need to equip ourselves. Otherwise, if you don't equip yourself, sometimes even courtship can cause you problems. And cause you damage rather than edifying you. Yes, indeed. And think about that. If you marry, you have children, and you have a very big responsibility. If you still be very self-centered, how can you cope those challenges? If you're very self-centered, and the person you marry are very self-centered, how can you cope? How can you cope and manage this, though honorable, but very heavy, big responsibility? So this is very urgent for us all. Of course, when we say that, it's not saying, oh, we dare not to marry. No. Marriage, in God's eyes, is good because God instituted it. And He wants to bless it. We don't need to be scared, but we need to rely on the Lord and pursue Him and know Him. Like in the camp, we talk about Paul. He strived to know Christ, talking about Philippians chapter 3. Yeah, this is urgent. So including for marriage as well. Prepare for marriage as well. If there's no other or comments, we stop here. I understand this is such a big topic, and we can't cope in a short time. And even we have very sufficient time, I myself can't cope. A lot of things I don't know. But the Holy Spirit knows individual situation. We can bring our issue to the Lord sincerely, and He is able to deal with that. Let us pray. Lord, we come to You again, and we admitted that apart from you, we can do nothing. But we believe that you are the Lord who take initiative to love and to work your salvation through on us, so that we can grow in you. We commit the discussion we had to you. We ask you to take away all those not from you, but deepen our understanding on those you want us to learn. We commit the time, the following time of remembering you to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.